As we approach this book, we are considering the theme that is in each book so that we could have a basic understanding of each book when we go into the Word of God by ourselves. Let's go to God in prayer as we look into this book. Father, we thank you that your grace and your mercy abounds upon each life here. And we ask, O God, that even as we gather together in your presence, let your word and your power continue to be manifested over each life. Father, we ask that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will enlighten each heart and each mind unto your word. We ask, O Father God, that every need here may be touched by you. We know, Father God, one touch of your glory is all that we need. So we ask, O Father God, that your Holy Spirit would reach out and you cause signs and wonders to confirm your word. You cause your word to prevail mightily among your people. And as your word is spoken, cause the voice of God to be heard. Cause your living word to come alive in the hearts and the minds of each one here. Father, we declare your glory. We declare the kingdom of God in this place. We declare the name of Jesus. We declare the Lordship of the Lord Jesus over each heart and each mind. And we promise, O God, that in all that you do, as you stretch forth your hand tonight, that we will give you the glory, the worship, and the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The first 9 chapters of the book of 2 Chronicles refer to the life of Solomon, of which we have touched upon. But as we approach 2 Chronicles tonight, what we want to see is some revivals that took place in the book of Chronicles, and that is the general theme of the book. There are about 5 different revivals that take place in this book, if you include the revival that was in Solomon's time. And each revival carries a particular thrust and an emphasis. In this particular book, the first 9 chapters establish what we call the temple of Solomon, by which God was going to continue his manifest working in the life of God's people. Sometimes God changes his patterns of working. Like in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, God worked in a certain manner through the blood of goats and bulls and through the Old Testament ordinances. But in the new, God changed his pattern. The same God, but different methods. And as we look at this book, we want to consider how God's pattern is established for this entire book of Chronicles. And we need a little bit of background as we look at the book of 2 Chronicles. Because 2 Chronicles, in the first 9 chapters, it established the fact of the temple. How God chose the temple, and the next 4 revivals which took place in the time of Jehoshaphat, in the time of Joash, in the time of Hezekiah, and in the time of Josiah, took place based upon the workings that center around the worship in the temple. So the first 9 chapters in the building of Solomon's temple, how God chose a place is established firmly here, and we want to see how it flow along and tie up to that covenant that God made with David. Now, for some background information, all of us possibly are familiar with how Moses built the tabernacle in the book of Leviticus, and in the book of Exodus, he collected the offering for that, and he received the 10 commandments. And after that, he built the tabernacle of Moses in the wilderness. And then for 40 years, they were wandering around all over the place until the old generation died and the new generation entered through the life of Joshua, who led them in the land of Canaan. And then when Joshua died and all the generation who knew the Lord in Joshua's time died, the Israelites began falling off one by one. And so we saw all the things that took place in the time of the book of Judges. And in the time of Judges, one judge came up after the other. When there was a good judge, the people turned to the Lord. When a judge died, the people went away from the Lord. And it was like a yo-yo story. The book of Judges was like just a yo-yo story. It goes up, goes down, goes up, goes down. Until the time of Samuel, the last and final judge. And Samuel came forth, and he, through the workings of God, he introduced and he brought forth the kingdom. And King Saul was the first king, followed by David, and now King Solomon, the third king. Now, throughout all this time that these activities were taking place in the Bible, there's one question that we are going to consider in regard to 2 Chronicles. Where was the ark throughout the entire time? The Bible records that after they came into the land of Canaan through Joshua, I'm sure you remember how they always travel with all those tabernacle pieces and they establish it. When Joshua sort of landed in the land of Canaan, the ark was placed in Shiloh. Shiloh. For some reason, it was located at Shiloh. That background is found in First Samuel chapter 1, where you read about how Eli the priest was functioning from Shiloh, because Shiloh was where the ark of God was. And throughout the entire period of the book of Judges, the ark was in Shiloh. And if you remember, during Eli's time, the Israelites tried to use the ark in the same manner that Joshua used, and they failed, and the ark got taken away by the Philistines. And for some time, the ark was with the Philistines, and the Philistines were terrified by the judgment of God for keeping the ark. And the Philistines sent the ark back, and that when the ark came back, the ark landed at a different city. It's called Kirjath Jearim. And that city is found in the book of 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 1 locates it at Shiloh. And 1 Samuel, this time we just cross-reference to 1 Samuel for some background. In chapter 5, the ark was in the Philistines, and you read about all the judgment of God. Finally, in chapter 6, it was returned. And then in chapter 7, verse 1 of 1 Samuel, then the men of Kirjath Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill, and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. So since the time of Samuel, the ark remained in Kirjath Jearim. The first place was Shiloh in Joshua's time, and throughout the book of Judges. Now it is in Kirjath Jearim. 1 Samuel 7 verse 1. In David's time, looking over at 1 Chronicles, see this background, where the ark was is important as we study 2 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles, you notice that when David brought the ark back, in chapter 13 of 1 Chronicles, it is specifically mentioned in verse 5 that David gathered all Israel together from Shihor in Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kirjath Jearim. So they were bringing the ark from Kirjath Jearim all the way back to Jerusalem in King David's time. And that was the third resting place of the ark in Jerusalem. But we all know the familiar story, how that on the way to Jerusalem, Uzzah and the other person who was helping to carry or stabilize the ark died because they touched the ark. And it was left at Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And God started blessing Obed-Edom, and David said, let me bring the ark in. Now, although people don't realize it, David symbolized one of the most powerful and important transitions that the Israelites went through. Because way back before Joshua, before the judges, before Joshua, right at the time of Moses, God spoke to the people and said that he will choose a place to build the ark, to place the ark. They had built the ark in Moses' time, but they had no place to put the ark. It is prophesied in Deuteronomy chapter 12. We need all this background to understand the revival that took place in 2 Chronicles, because God many times bring forth a revival through successive generations. And each generation is only privileged to manifest, to partake of God's predetermined level of working in each generation. Which is why in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, right after all the men of faith have been mentioned, the author says that God having provided something better for us. See, it was all building to a climax. And there was something that Moses started that was never completed until it reached David's time. Although when you read all the Bible stories, you don't see that picture, but we're pointing to that clear-cut picture there. Because the prophecy is in Deuteronomy. We look at Deuteronomy chapter 12. And God said, up in view of them going to the land of Canaan, God said in verse 10, "But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving to inherit, and when He gives you rest from all your enemies round about you, so that you dwell in safety." Now, there were two things there. Number one, He gives them rest. Number two, they will dwell in safety. God says that when these two conditions are met, verse 11, "Then, and only then, there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make His name abide." That was a powerful prophecy that took many, many generations to come to pass. It's almost the picture of how Moses began that revival and it climaxed in Solomon's time. See, Solomon symbolizes the climax of what Moses began. And my friends, we in this last day church symbolize the climax of what Acts 2 began. Over 2,000 years, nearly 2,000 years of church history has taken place. Successive generations have seen different things, and there have been different things added through each generation. And Peter himself declared in the book of Acts chapter 2, "In the last days," he says, in Acts 2, "the last days began at his time." But you and I know, one day to the Lord is as 1,000 days, 1,000 years. So nearly 2 days have passed by. Nearly 2,000 years of church history for God, nearly 2 days, have taken place. And we are at the climax of what God is doing. And so 2 Chronicles symbolize that climax. Solomon's reign symbolized that climax. God chose a place. Why didn't God choose that place in the book of Judges? They had a measure of rest, but not the complete rest. All their enemies were not removed yet. Number two, they were not in safety yet. It was only in King David's time. And if you remember the familiar story of King David, that King David conquered all the enemies of God. All the enemies of the Israelites in his time. And it says, God gave David rest from all his foes. It was only in David's time that the prophecy in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10, 11 and 12, was completely fulfilled. Only in his time, verse 10 and 11, was it fulfilled. And that is why that covenant that David made with God is especially called the Davidic covenant. When God says that He has chosen David, and for David to bring forth the temple and to declare the place that God has chosen. Notice in 2 Chronicles, with that background, Solomon realized that he was just the tail end of what David was.